हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे। राम जय जय राम, श्री राम जय जय राम, रघुपति राघव राजा राम, पतित पावन सीता राम। रघुपति राघव राजा राम, पतित पावन सीता राम। राम जय जय राम, राम जय जय राम। राम जय जय राम, राम जय जय राम। जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा। जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद।
विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रोत अशोक श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य श्रोत अशोक श्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज शिला प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, all glories, all glories, all glories to Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जये मुदीरये नष्टे प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 28। सद्वर्ग स्वयं कांत सद्वर्गा स्वयं एकांत सर्वा नियम चोदना तद अंता यदि नो योगान अवाहेयो शर्म वहा। सद्वर्गा स्वयं एकांत सर्वा नियमा चोदना तदंता यदि नो योगान अवेयेषु शर्वं वहा। सद्वर्गा स्वयं एकांता सर्वा नियमा चोदना तदंता यदि नो योगान अवेहियु शर्मं वहा। तदंता यदि नो योगान अवाहेयु शर्मवा। सद्वर्गा स्वयं कांता सर्वनियमा चोदना तदंता यदि नो योगान अवाहेयु शर्मवा। सद्वर्गा स्वयं एकांता सर्वा नियमा चोदना तदंता यदि नो योगान अवहेयु शर्मवा। सद्वर्गा The six elements, namely the five working senses and the mind. Swayam Ekantaha. The ultimate aim of subjugating. Sarvaha. All such activities. Niyama Chodnaha. The regulative principles. Further meant for controlling the senses and mind. Tad antaha, the ultimate goal of such activities. Yadi, if, no, not. Yogan, the positive link with the Supreme. Avaheyu, did lead to Shrama Avaha, a waste of time and labor. translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulative principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustrations. Purport. One may argue that one may achieve the ultimate goal of life, realization of the super soul, by practicing the yoga system and ritualistic performances according to the Vedic principles, even without staunch devotion to the spiritual master. The actual fact, however, is that by practicing yoga, one must come to the platform of meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the scriptures, dhyana vashita vashtitha tad gatena mansa pasyanti yam yoginaha. A person in meditation achieves the perfection of yoga practice when he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By various practices, one may come to the point of controlling the senses, but simply controlling the senses does not bring one to a substantial conclusion. However, by staunch faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one not only controls the senses but also realizes the Supreme Lord. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau tasyate kathita hi arthaha prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Shveshtavatara Upanishad, chapter 6, text number 23. It is further stated, Tushyayam sarva bhutama guru shushrushya. And taranti angyo bhavara namanam. Bhavara, bhavara nam, bhavara namam. Simply by rendering service to the spiritual master, one crosses the ocean of nations and returns home, back to Godhead. Thus, he gradually sees the Supreme Lord face to face and enjoys life in association with the Lord. The ultimate goal of yoga is to come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless this point is achieved, one's so-called yoga practice is simply labor without any benefit. Om Gyan Timiranjasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhascha Kirpa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So on the occasion of Ram Navami, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra, I give you my best wishes and seek your blessings so that I could speak something meaningful. We'll discuss this verse and a little bit about the pastimes and the compassionate nature of Lord Ramachandra. So in ritualistic ceremonies, regulatory principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if it does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustrations. So here a very interesting conversation is taking place where how we can, as human beings, perfect our life, that is being discussed in these verses. Now, we are all familiar with these terms, ritualistic ceremonies. So in our society, and also when we look outside the society, we find that all grihasthas and most of the devotees also, we engage ourselves in some kind of ritualistic activities. So why do we do that? So before we analyze that, we have to understand what are these activities, why we do them, what is the necessity of doing all these things, why our scriptures prescribe us to do ritualistic ceremonies and activities. So when we arrive in this material world, our heart and our intelligence, they are all covered by several layers of ignorance. And until and unless those, the dust of ignorance and those layers of ignorance are removed from our heart, we cannot really make any progress in devotional life. We say that we should chant, and that is the means and the goal. But to even chant purely, we have to reach a particular stage. And how we can reach that particular stage, that is what is being described here. So by engaging ourselves in ritualistic ceremonies and activities, we are actually purifying our thought process. Rituals are by nature purificatory. So that is why our scriptures are talking about the rituals. If we talk so much about Vedas, because Vedas are the knowledge, and about 75% of Vedas are covered by Karma Kanda, fruitive activities. But so Vedas are very popular among people because they prescribe and they give the kind of information about how to achieve certain things, certain benefits and fruits of their activities. So if we are looking for fruitive activities, then certainly Vedas are going to help. But in addition to getting the fruit, the benefits, we also get something which comes along with it, and that is the process of purification. So in our scriptures, they are talking about these rituals and sanskaras. And when I read those, when I was reading that book, it says that right from the time of marriage, different sanskars have to be performed. And when a child is, before even the conception of the child, there are some sanskaras to be performed. And when the mother is, when the child is in the womb of the mother, there are certain prescribed rituals. And when child comes into this world, there are some rituals for that, and so on. So it is said that a person who has undergone that process will be better, is more equipped to handle the situation in this material world. So that is the significance of performing these rituals and sanskaras. Then it says regulative principles. So Srila Prabhupada introduced these four regulative principles for all of us. And when we take our initiation vows, we have to, you know, say these regulative principles and make a promise to our spiritual master in presence of Krishna that we will follow these regulatory principles. So these regulatory principles are important because of two points. One is discipline. It brings us a sense of discipline in a person who is practicing those regulatory principles. And secondly, more important, is it keeps us away from sinful activities. So if we compare the activities in which a devotee engages and the activities in which a non-devotee engages, then we can very easily see the difference, that the activities of a devotee are of a particular nature, and a non-devotee is not even aware of those. So he is happily engaging himself in those devotees and as a result incurring sinful reactions for that. So by practicing regulative principles, we are saving ourselves from those sinful reactions. Then we are talking here about austerities. So austerities again is a part of regulative principles if you look at it. And again, austerities help us in controlling our senses. So austerities can be practiced in different ways, and austerities will mean different thing for different people. For example, for a person who is not used to sleeping on floor, if he is asked to sleep on the floor, it is an austerity for him. And on the other hand, a person who is always sleeping on the floor, if you offer him a bed, it is an austerity for him. He will not be able to sleep on that bed. So it is just like, you know, exactly two opposite things. So based on the activities, based on our lifestyle, the austerity will mean different things for different people. But it is very, very important, because it is helping us in, to some extent, achieving some kind of a discipline and control on our senses. Then it finally talks about the practice of yoga, which is basically connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we look at the progression, if we are leading if we are doing activities which are purificatory in nature, we are leading a disciplined life, we are practicing and engaging in austerities, it is going to help us eventually to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Srila Prabhupada says that if, actually Narad Rishi is saying to Yudhishthira here, that even after doing that, even after controlling, even after able to achieve some sense of control on your mind, even then, if you are not able to meditate upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustration. Because what is the goal of human life? If we recognize the aim of human life, which is basically to please Krishna or to surrender to Krishna, then we will know that all activities in which we are engaging, all austerities which we are engaging in, they are there for us to reach that goal. And if at the end of the road we forget that goal, then all the efforts which we have done, they are useless. So here when I was making my notes, I was thinking about a very clear example, because we have been discussing that in the last few months. We talked about it for several days, is of Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu underwent very severe austerities. As a matter of fact, the nature of austerities which he underwent, not many people can do that. But because he was not clear, he didn't know what his goal was, or his goal was, let us say, was wrong, he, in spite of undergoing all these austerities and penances, what was his end? So until and unless our goal is clear, which is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to serve Krishna, if we are practicing all these regulatory principles, austerities, etc., with that goal in mind, then certainly it is helpful. It will help us to move closer to Krishna. But if that is not the goal, then we are going to really be surprised. Then why, if we read further, if we try to analyze that why doing these activities is going to help us? Because it helps us to detach from our material thoughts and possessions. One of the main reason why we are suffering in this world is because of our attachments. As a matter of fact, we can say it is from the lack of control on our senses. And that leads to different things. And one of them is attachment to all these material possessions, attachment to our body, attachment to our qualifications, and so on. So once we are practicing and leading a disciplined life, it helps us slowly to get detached from all those possessions. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, as a matter of fact, it is given in Nectar of Devotion also, Srila Rupa Goswami says, when he was asked, that what is the yardstick of knowing if I am making progress in my devotional life? Because when we are doing certain activities, we all want to know whether I am doing good, whether I am making some progress, or what's happening. And the answer given is that if you make progress in devotional life, slowly and but gradually, your attachment with your material possessions will be declining. So we slowly get, you know, detached from all our possessions, and we develop attachment and love for the holy name of the Lord. So with that in mind, if we are practicing, then certainly we will be able to think of Krishna in a meaningful way, where Krishna will also be able to reciprocate and make our practice, all these practices, the austerities and penances, etc., make it a little bit more successful. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada says, there is no point in undergoing all their senses. I was hearing a story, which is very, which can fit into, you know, which can be a very good example for this particular purport. There was a villager, and he went to some secluded place in some mountains, and for several years he did some kind of activities there, and so on. And after several years, he returned back to his village. And when he came back, all the villagers asked him that where were you and what were you doing, and so on. So he wanted to impress them, and he says, please come with me, I will show you what I have been doing. So he took them close to the river which used to run by the village, and he says, now you see what I have learned in these last 15 years. And he walked on the river, he walked on the water and crossed the river. So when he came back, a person who was a boatman, he says, this is what you have done in all these 10 years? So he says, yes, didn't you see? It was such a great thing I have done. So he said, it is just like not even worth a dollar. It is just maybe few cents. And then this so-called yogi was very puzzled and kind of disappointed. So he said, why do you say that? So he says, you know, it costs 50 cents for somebody to cross the river. People pay me 50 cents and I take them from one side of the river to the other bank of the river. And you spent 15 years in a secluded place, and that's what you have learned. So you have wasted your time. So this is what many people have done in the past. Even in our scriptures, when we read about the life of different personalities, we come across many such personalities who underwent severe austerities, but because their aim was not proper, they did not really get anything meaningful. When we talk of Hiranyakashipu, the other example which came in my mind was of Dhruv Maharaj. So Dhruv Maharaj also was going to the forest to do exactly what has been described here, but his motivation was also more material. We are aware of that. But because he came in contact with a elevated soul like Narad, he got some kind of advice from him, and he worked on that. He was able to, though he started with material motivations, when he made progress in his practice, he eventually gave up all those material aspirations. And when he came in contact, or when the Supreme Personality came face to face with him, he had by that time no material demands or requirements. So the other realization when I was reading this was that it is nice to do these activities, but it is also important to do them under proper guidance. Because if we do not do these practices, if we do not practice austerities or regulatory principles, etc., under proper guidance, then we will have the same fate as Hiranyakashipu. There's a very good possibility to go in that direction. And whereas if we are being guided by a Vaishnava, by a elevated personality, then we have the chance of going in the direction in which Dhruv Maharaj went. Now, further, when we look at it, we say that the aim of doing all this is to come closer to Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that if we give up, we can give up all dharmas and just take his shelter, and then he is going to take care of us. And that note I wanted to switch to nature of Lord Ramachandra, because he has also exhibited in his pastimes the same thing, that all those people and living entities, not necessarily human beings, who surrendered to Lord Ramachandra, he protected them and he gave them his shelter and he took complete care of these people. So I think most of you may be familiar with the life of Lord Ramachandra. He was born in as the eldest son of King Dashratha. And when he was, they were four brothers. And when Dashrath decided to name him as his, he was going to give him the throne, he was going to make him the next king of Ayodhya or of this world, then one of his wives, Kekai, she demanded, I'm just trying to make it very short because Ramayana is such an interesting scripture that one can go on and on. There are such interesting pastimes of the Lord there. So one of the wives of Dashrath, she demanded that her son Bharat, he should be the next king, and Lord Ramchandra should go to the forest for 14 years, because she did not want that. She felt that if Ramchandra stays in Ayodhya, there will be disturbances, and he may try to get the you know kingdom back and so on. So she made this plan, and then eventually Lord Ramachandra decided to you know keep his father's word. He decided to go to the forest. So when we are reading these stories and the different you know living entities and human beings in whose contact Lord Ramachandra came, we find that he's an ideal son, he's an ideal husband, he's an ideal brother, and for all of us, he is, of course, the most compassionate Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a particular story which I wanted to share with you, because that is relevant to the compassionate nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravan, and eventually a war was to take place between Lord Ramchandra was there to kill Ravan and his army of Rakshasas. Brother of Ravan, Vibhishan, he was a devotee of the Lord, and he, as a matter of fact, advised Ravan on several occasions to give Sita back and seek forgiveness of Lord Ramchandra. But Ravana was so much intoxicated with his pride and power that he did not pay any attention to the advice of his brother. So eventually, Vibhishan decided to leave Ravan and take shelter of Lord Ramachandra. So when Vibhishan, together with his advisors, he came to the camp where Lord Ramachandra was residing with all his army of monkeys, and Hanuman, Sugriva, Angad, Jamund, etc. And when they saw Vibhishan coming through, they were Rakshasas and they had mystic powers, so they didn't come by boat, they came through sky, and they were visible to Sugriv and the other monkeys. So Sugriv had some kind of a suspicion, and he told Lord Ramachandra that we have to be careful because these are Rakshasas, and they have all kind of mystic powers, and he may be here just to as a spy of Ravan. So we should be extremely careful. Maybe we should arrest him and punish him and so on. So there is something very interesting Lord Ramachandra says here. Says I will read out the Sanskrit verse and then the translations. It says sakrit eva prapanoyas tava smiti chayachate abhyam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vritam mama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, my Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him protection. That is my vow. So he doesn't discriminate who the person is, what his past activities have been, and so on. If one approaches the Lord and seek his protection, Lord will always protect. So I'd like to stop here. And of course, today in the evening we have His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. He will be speaking about pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So I'm sure we will hear many more, we'll see many more aspects of the personality of Lord Ramachandra. So thank you so much. Any comments, questions, corrections? Swal Prabhu, I have to invite you to speak.
Question. question right now.
The verse brought to the memory is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam verse, that it will be a waste of time, that if one, if the resolve of one activity is not attract the resulting in attraction to the messages of Krishna, then it's a waste of time. And then the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says that for those who are not faithful, then all the austerities, culture of knowledge, opulences, everything will be vanquished, yes, will be finished. So this is very clear. Warnings and directions that are there. There's not much to discuss about it, you know. It's, so one have to, it's a purpose, actually I guess it's a purpose of education to have a society who understands that this is how, this is the order of the universe. This is how everything is supposed to be. This is what, you know, activities are supposed to lead to. Otherwise, it's just completely outside the order. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.